104DGS. Pretty much is me and Andrew today. Wheeler's gone, and Rach is gone, and Amy is gone. So, Sue, Thomas is in, but you don't have to come in tomorrow. That's good.
Yeah, that's not. Oh, I don't care. I love coming in. It's
no,
fun.
Good. That's nice.
Yes.
So it'll be me and Mr. Hancock tomorrow. So if you want to come in, we'd love to have you.
Oh, that's interesting. Get him to tell a history story. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
He's good at that.
He's really good.
He knows everything about that stuff.
Uh-huh. That is true. By the way, I did hear the description of Rachel and the writing out of the adult toy.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, you were with us.
And I was sitting to the side, and you could watch as she was getting into it, as she started to realize what it was.
Yeah.
And her face started to turn bright red.
And it's the absolute worst room to make that mistake in.
Yes.
We're not going
to
let it go.
Yeah, no one's going to be like, it's okay, hon. Just let's go to break.
Oh. Yeah. Other rooms, you're like, well, I don't have to worry about this being brought up 5 years later when I'm not even in the country. And in this room, it's like, oh, no. If we think of it, we're going to bring it up.
Poor thing. I felt so bad. Oh, that was awful.
That's ever happened.
Okay.
To hear my story about the professor rubbing us with oil?
I did.
Yeah.
And Andrew actually voiced my thoughts, which was why. And the other thought was, you're exactly right, Dave. This could not happen today.
No.
This could not happen 100 years ago.
Yeah.
There really
1983 was the one year.
That was really it.
No, that was the one year for oil rubbing.
Uh-huh. Possibly the 60s.
Yeah.
Through that time, and then it was done.
Yeah, it had that kind of feel about it.
Oh, that is so weird. And did anybody tell anybody? Like, I call the administration and say, looky here.
I have a memory of some sort of drama, but nothing like, no one ever, like, interviewed us or anything like that.
Right.
But
I remember, like, a bunch of kids just walked out from the beginning, and I made it about halfway, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said something like, okay, for the remainder of the class, it's going to get a little more real. So,
yeah. And you were like, well, come on now.
He was given warnings.
Yeah.
Well, today...
Don't warn me about oil.
Somebody would take a picture and post it on their phone, and that's
the end. Done. Yeah.
Okay. Trying to wipe that out of my head.
It's easier than wiping it off your back, I'll tell you that much. Stuff sticks.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Literally Wesson oil.
No. How do you know that?
Because I remember it.
Dave.
These things stick out in your mind.
Yeah. Well, he just had bottles of Wesson oil.
And tarp. And bad intentions.
I should not be laughing. Okay.
Do you guys have, for example, I have some guilty pleasures about the fall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Halloween Wars, the baking show.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, where's that? Is that on Food Network?
Nah, it's on one of those.
Okay. But do they make, like, just Halloween stuff?
Yeah,
is there a theme?
Like, they give them a big, giant pumpkin and baking supplies, and then they have 3 hours to make Beetlejuice or something.
I don't really ever remember my parents fighting about TV stuff, like what to watch when, but I'm pretty sure my dad was not a fan of the Halloween contest show, and my mom loved it.
If it is Great British Baking Show, mm-hmm. I will watch it in any form. I don't care if they do that and make goblins or whatever. Fine. They have a Christmas version.
It's really good.
And it's excellent.
Yeah, I like that show a lot.
Yeah, they invite the winners back. People who didn't win. That's who comes to the holiday bake-off.
I had someone wait on me today. Someone who I know is not British, because they've waited on me before, but the entire time today, they were like, another cup of governor. You know, they were doing like a whole British accent thing. It really threw me.
That's weird.
I started to respond in kind, then I'm like, I'm not playing your game.
Thank you.
Hmm.
That's odd.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do some Craigslist?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
We're doing Craigslist?
Yeah. Andrew wrote it up.
Woohoo! Wait, I need a piece of paper. All right.
I'll keep score.
All right.
She didn't trust you.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, I'm not keeping
score. She likes taking notes.
I just want to write down what I say, because if Dave says something, then I won't remember.
I
okay, I'm ready.
All right, the head-to-head duel. Okay, so the first item I've got here, these are all pulled from the St. Louis area Craigslist for sale section. And if you hear yours, congratulations. I thought yours was weird enough. We should talk about it. So first we have a 14 karat gold charm that says 100% brat is what it says. This is from
someone tells me that's not real gold.
Yeah.
14 karat. This is from O'Fallon, Missouri. They will not respond to "Is it available?" If you read this post, it is available, stupid.
Okay.
Charming. That sound nice.
Uh-huh.
What are you paying for a... Well, she's 100% brat, you know. What are you paying for the charm that says 100% brat and is 14 karat gold?
Okay. It's not 14 karat gold.
No.
It's 14 karat gold plated.
Correct.
No one's ever made 100% brat in 14 karat gold ever.
100%.
So I'm going to go... $25.
Dang it.
Dang.
I really like 25. I'm going to say, Andrew, 30.
Sue's going to take this first one, $84.
Brats are.
Yeah.
Because she's 100% brat and it's 14 karat gold, you know, after all. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Sartorial Pure Lard, St. Louis, large tin. In St. Louis City, really close to here, actually. 17-pound lard tin with lid. It's in great shape.
With lard?
I think it's got lard in it. I think Sartorial was a brand.
Oh,
it was,
okay.
It was very old.
Okay, that helps me.
I thought you guys might geek out. I thought you guys might go like, wow, Sartorial lard.
We're not 100 years old.
That was my childhood.
Thank you.
Right?
That's what the professor rubbed on us in college.
Sartorial lard? That's the best lard.
I've never bought lard.
Okay, now that we're saying it out loud, I do feel a bit silly.
What was it the other day you thought I was so old about?
You
thought I met the real Mark Twain.
Yes, I asked if it was the...
What?
You went to Hannibal when you were a kid.
Yeah, I said I went to Hannibal on a school trip, and the Mark Twain there scared me, and he was like, was it the real Mark Twain?
And I said, was that the real Mark Twain? And it wasn't.
No.
Because it turns out Mark Twain died
like 1910 or something.
70 years before Dave was born.
Yeah.
So what are you paying for the 17-pound lard tin with a lid?
Sue?
17 pounds seems like a lot to me, Dave, and it is sartorial.
It is sartorial.
Which sounds ancient to me. How long does lard keep? It can't keep... You know what I'm saying? It can't be good.
But anyone who's going to offer lard to the public is weird and mean because they're like, don't ask if it's available.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say, 17 pounds. I'm going to, $35, Andrew.
Okay.
I'll go 50.
Dave gets it on the nose.
Oh,
it
nice
is,
job, Dave.
$50 for the lard tin with the lid. Excuse me. Quick Meal. This one's cool. Quick Meal Antique Stove. It's one of those like free, it's like an old timey stove looking thing. It's green and white. It's in South St. Louis. It is a beautiful looking old timey stove, but it's going to need some restoration. So it's an antique Quick Meal stove available for restoration located in a warehouse in South St. Louis.
I've seen some of these in actual houses that people are selling.
Yeah.
They're kind of cool looking if
very
it's what
pretty.
I think.
They're very pretty.
It doesn't work? Do we know?
It says available for restoration, and it looked a little
crap.
It looked a little dingy in the photo, so I am going to probably guess it does not work currently.
Dave, you're up.
$80.
Dang it, that's good. 70.
Dave's going to take this one, too.
Nice job, Dave.
$200. $200 for the antique stove.
That does not work, clearly.
Next up, we've got a display case with a ship in it. From St. Louis. This is a large display case currently holding an enormous wooden pirate ship. The case is 69 inches tall from top to floor. It is 40 inches wide and 13 inches in depth. Made of plexiglass, but is very well made. And it comes in three pieces. Cash only, cash only. I repeat for the final time, cash only.
Where? Is it in the city?
It's in the city.
It's a big
It was kind of like Rivas Barracks area.
Okay.
They see how big the pirate ship is?
There were some more details that I didn't get. It was a lot of, like, measurement details. It's big. I mean, the whole thing is 40 inches wide. And
they're going to want way too much for this.
69 inches tall.
200.
Oh, that's a good one. 150.
Dave's going to take this one,
Dang,
too.
Dang, Dave, you're on a roll.
$850.
See? Yeah.
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 They want for this enormous ship display.
Don't bring a check.
Don't bring a check. Cash only, which whenever I see that, I just get a little, I know that they're just probably trying to protect themselves from like bad checks or check fraud or whatever, but I'm like, why do you want cash only? This one's also cash only. This is 10 empty liquor bottles, 10 unique liquor bottles to fill or use for crafts. They've been rinsed out and the labels are still attached.
What crafts?
I had planned to use these, but now I don't need them. Local pickup, cash only. What are you paying to go get this guy's trash for him from St. Charles?
Absolutely nothing.
What would I pay to not meet this guy?
Yes. Nothing, zero. All right.
Sure, he rinsed him out great.
What crafts can you make from old liquor bottles?
Hey, he doesn't give those ideas. He's like, hey, I'm not going to do all the work for you.
New liquor bottles?
No kidding. I'm going to say $5.
$5?
How many are there?
10.
There's 10.
I'm going to say 50.
50?
Yeah.
Sue gets this one. It is $15.
Okay.
To come pick this guy's trash up for him and get it out of his house.
That's more than a dollar an old liquor bottle. Ridiculous.
Here's another cool one. Vintage Wilson tennis racket and Ectelon racquetball racket. These are both very old. Wilson Matchpoint tennis racket from the 80s in good condition, but the plactic collar, maybe plastic, does have a small crack as shown
in
the pictures.
You think that might be plastic?
I don't know what I, when I was reading this initially, I was like, I don't know what plactic is. And now that I'm reading it here, I'm like, that's probably plastic.
Yeah. Maybe it's an advanced tennis term, you thought.
Right. I was like, that must be a tennis thing.
Used for sartorial lard.
Correct.
And the Ectelon Magnum II Extra Small Racquetball Racket, also from the 80s, in excellent condition. So these are actually pretty cool.
Are they wood or are they metal?
They're plactic. They're plactic, I think.
All right. I forgot they were plactic.
Go ahead, Sue.
Is it in good condition?
The tennis racket's in good condition, but the collar is cracked. And the racquetball racket is in excellent condition.
All right.
And they looked good in the photo.
$30.
Oh.
I jumped.
100.
This one's going to go to Sue. This person wants $8 for both.
Yeah. That's going to be crap.
I feel like that's a good deal if it's not crap.
Well, if the plactic weren't crap.
Yeah. The problem is the plactic. I'm an idiot. All right. Next one. 1979 Shovelhead Harley Davidson Chopper. Matching numbers for the motor, frame, and title, hardtail, kickstart only, foot clutch, hand shifts, four speed. I'm sure somebody knows what those words mean.
Dave does.
Starts easy and has low compression pistons, firm price, absolutely cash only.
Okay, now Dave would know. Okay, how much?
What year?
79. Shovelhead Chopper.
What does shovelhead mean, Dave?
It's just a kind of Harley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like a style that they did back then.
Is it the low to the ground with the high bars? Kind of. Yeah. That's what it looked like on the.
What is a shovelhead? Oh, wait.
I bet it's less than $10,000. I'll go $7,500.
$7,500? What do you think, Sue?
Crap. Well, clearly it's $8,000.
Sue's going to take it. It's $10,000.
Oh,
darn. That's what I said it wasn't.
I know, when he said, like, definitely not $10,000, I was like, competitive here, 4-3. Steel fence, 2 feet tall, 18 feet wide. This is in Tower Grove
East. Very specific need.
It is just an enormous length of steel fence. Iron railing, we'll say this is iron. Iron railing, 2 foot tall, 18 and a half feet wide. So what are you doing to get this guy's junk fence? It doesn't look pliable. It doesn't look like something. If you have a need for exactly 18 and a half feet of fence, that might work for you. That's only, but again, it's only 2 feet tall. So
that would keep bulldogs out of a garden. That's my thought.
There you go.
Two feet, you think?
Yeah, it's a small garden.
Yeah.
It's very small.
Well, I mean, like, they wouldn't be able to hop that. They don't have the hops.
Fred, I'm sorry, Fred. You're not Fred. Andrew, it doesn't occur to them that they'd have to go over. They will find a way to go around. Okay. I'm going to say.
I take being called Fred a compliment, by the way.
Okay, good. $40.
$100.
Dave's going to take it and tie it up. It's $200.
That's nuts.
I've got a handful more. Do you want to go to
break? Let's do one more to break the tie.
Okay.
Okay, okay. Okay, sorry, I really have to do. Oh, these are all so good. Okay, male goat. Intact male mini Nubian, 5 months old, goat only. What are you paying for this damn goat in Fenton?
What else did you think?
Yeah, what else would come along with it?
It's just a goat. Just a goat. Come and get it.
Intact, which means it can breed.
Yes.
Sure.
Was it a small goat? What'd you say? Some word made me think.
Nubian. Yeah, mini okay. Nubian. So it's probably not a big goat. It didn't have a scale comparison in the photo.
It's a little sex having goat.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I don't really want one. What are you giving?
But I'll pay not to have it.
Yeah, you're both like, yeah, pass.
40.
40?
Oh, that's a good guess, Dave. 45.
Sue wins. Duh! $50 for the goat.
Duh! So this is troubling. A new worldwide study came out, and the United States has the worst healthcare system of any wealthy nation. They didn't define wealthy nation. I'm just, you know, I think we just, you know, most non-second, third world nations. The worst healthcare of any wealthy nation, and Americans have the shortest, sickest lives of any wealthy nation.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this, well, if you watch any kind of YouTube and you see like a Vinnie Tortorich or a RFK Jr. talk about it, or there are other doctors or other professionals from that field coming out now that say part of that is because of, big pharma and other things involved in things like the food pyramid. You know, we were mm-hmm. making all that grain and shipping it off, and we thought, you know what, you know, we got a lot of grain over here. Shouldn't we just flip that pyramid around? Anyway, when we're based on carbs and then goes up to a teeny tiny protein, so people are eating all that, which is essentially sugar.
And we took all the good stuff out of everything. And,
right.
Yeah,
remember
too.
Back in the 50s and 60s, we made enriched bread.
Correct.
Where we put vitamins into something that already had vitamins and took all the good stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. That's something that I've seen more and more of, is people from other countries will like look over, you know, American products, and they're like, oh, these ingredients are nightmare.
Trash.
Yeah,
they're
the
trash.
Ingredients are an absolute of everything. Are just terrible. And I mean, you know, it's hard to even avoid. I mean, I'm doing it right now. I'm drinking a Prime energy drink that's tastes good, but it's got nothing but chemicals in it.
I guess it was a podcast I was listening to. It was a surgeon from Stanford who had quit and written a book about, you know, this sort of thing and how we're feeding these kids and ourselves. They can trace back the unhealthiness in a certain portion of it to when the government said, yes, eat all these carbs. And that became a standard because people thought, oh, well, the government said it. This is what we should be doing. And whether or not that's all of it, that's got to be at least mm-hmm. a factor. And she said, and then all these are funded by food companies or, you know, tobacco companies. When the tobacco didn't go well, when that started to go down, when we thought, you know, maybe that's not great to do.
And when we
they got into food,
stopped cooking at home.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was double income or it was the kids have soccer practice or it was DoorDash or it was whatever it was. When I was a kid, 9 out of 10 meals were cooked at home by mom.
Yep.
And then maybe once every 10, you'd go out to eat, probably less frequently than that.
But think about it. Cereals, those are not great. Think of all the crap. Cereals there yeah. are. I'm not saying they don't taste good, but that's what you feed your kids. That's sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and people eat that every day for breakfast to start off. But my grandfather would have bacon and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it to the 90s with no problems. It's just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
We asked the right person. Ronji wouldn't have known jack crap about this. I'm gonna do the things that I wanted to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Time to talk to Rick Horton, brought to you by Goodwill. Give hope, give local, give Goodwill. Hey, Rick, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Dave. I got to say, I'm having a cool experience. I'm sitting in section 265 of the ballpark in row 13, seat 12, and I'm just watching the beautiful ballpark kind of unfold here. I wish I had... written down all the cool places I've been when we've done these hits throughout the last few years.
Yeah.
And this is really cool. I'm kind of just experiencing the zen of the ballpark right now.
I love it. People who go to the ballpark with me know that I go early and I leave early. And not everyone loves early leavers. There are a lot of people out there that they're there to the bitter end, and I really respect that. But I like being there like an hour early. I like watching John Eula do his thing. I like watching the first pitches. I like watching the grounds crew. I just like being in the ballpark.
Yeah, there's a ground. There's five guys right now watering the infield. There's a guy setting up some of the apparatus that Major League Baseball uses for the pitch clock and all that. He's setting it up by the what is the Pirates dugout. There's a Pirate coach who's getting some sprints in. He's probably going to be throwing batting practice before too long, but there's not a lot of action going on right now, but it's cool, though. I just love it.
When I ran college track, I played all the sports, but I loved track the most because it was so easy. It was like a lazy sport. You'd spend a lot of time laying on the pole vault mat. Maybe you go run a couple of wind sprints. Maybe you eat a turkey. Like, it was just there was just a vibe to it. And while I know that professional baseball is not easy, it feels like that when I go to the ballpark. Like, there's just a vibe to it. People are kind of doing their own thing.
They are. I thought you were going to describe that's what your job is now. That's why you do that, because you got a couch.
It's
couch
pretty close. This is pretty close to college track.
For several years I was the chaplain of the Rams and the Cardinals both, and if I was going to do a chapel for the Rams, I would go and they'd be sitting in a chair, taking notes, sitting up straight, looking serious, focused. And you do a baseball chapel, they got a hat on backwards, they got a cup of coffee, they got a dip in, they're wearing shorts, they're wearing flip-flops, and it's 10 minutes before the game.
I mean, it's
just a very different vibe. And honestly, baseball players, you know, have to learn how to relax because it's every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do too much intense things, it just wears you out.
Rick, we haven't talked that much. You obviously, faith is very important to you.
Yeah.
Has it always been an advantage in your life and career, or were there times when it made things a little more challenging or difficult?
Well, I think it's always been an advantage, and the difficulties that I might have somebody disagree with what I believe in or stand for, but I've never really taken that as a personal insult. It's just that they just don't agree with that. So I don't take that personally. But it helps me, I think, be grounded. And that's the bottom line of it. So I think it's always been a help because I'm not going to say it doesn't get you jobs, it doesn't get you success, not that kind of thing. But I just have a peace and a joy that I didn't have prior.
And I'm sure, sort of like Fellowship of Christian Athletes, that those of you in the big leagues who know each other to be Christians know each other and recognize each other and fellowship and such.
Yeah, and that helps because, you know, you're trying to learn the same things. You're trying to, you know, not be, you know, we always aim at perfection, but you understand you're not going to be there. But you want to grow. You want to be, you know, I always wanted look, as a player, I wanted to play in a godly way, and I wanted to coach in a godly way after I was done playing. And I feel the same way about broadcasting, about being a neighbor, about being a husband, about being a father, all those things. And that's really my goal, is to just, you know, to be as godly as I can. So it helps to have other people that are on that same journey that we can kind of sharpen each other.
Very good. Matt Adams is going to sign a one-day contract to retire a Cardinal. Yeah. Talk to me about Matt.
Yeah, well, Matt has, you know, he's one of those guys that had those cool moments in October, and we love our October moments. You know, you'd say, you know, you can go back to Tom Lawless hitting a home run in a World Series game, and, of course, David Freese, the big one that we think about in terms of October, and David Eckstein, and, you know, Daryl Porter had great moments in October, and that's why Cardinal fans revere those moments. And, you know, Matt Adams had a home run against Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs that was one of the most stunning moments and just a cool moment. And so, you know, we love Matt Adams, and he's also very likable, and, you know, he's had a nice career, and he's ready to kind of move into coaching. He says he wants to influence other people and help them along the way. So good for Matt Adams.
Talk to me a little bit, Rick. We had a discussion earlier in the week with Wheels and Bernie, so you can imagine how that went. Kind of goes into the nerdery because they both know so much. but basically the thought of, at this point in the season, with just a few games left, and then we have the long off season, that we really are... We have our foot in two different buckets. We want to keep the guys around, the core of this young, talented team. We don't want to scare anybody, like making giant moves. But at the same time, Cardinals Nation is frustrated. They're showing it by not coming to the games as much. And we have to do some things of note to get them intrigued again.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are actually at a crossroads. I think the idea of, do we continue business as usual, or and maybe just do some tweaks, or is it a kind of a big shift change? And I think it may be the big shift change. And I think some of that is, you know, developing younger players and giving them a chance. And you might take some lumps along the way doing that. But I think that, you know, the thought is, and I would be on board with this, that Cardinal fans want something different. And I think, you know, the last 2 years have been tough. And actually, this year you've got a team that's at least playing, you know, 500 baseball. That's not playoff baseball, but it's not where we were last year. So there have been some strides, absolutely. But I think they're looking for something beyond that, because that's the Cardinal tradition. And, you know, you might have to take a step back to take two steps forward.
And you know what's kind of good, Rick, is that we have things that we know that we haven't done great. There are some teams out there that spend a lot more money than us, and they have pitching labs, and they have hitting labs, and they have everything that you could possibly want, and they're still not winning. There are several things like that, like the labs that we don't have, and some of the instruction that we haven't been doing great at in the lower levels of the farm system. We have things that we can change. That's kind of good news.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think, you know, I always equate the development of baseball to, you know, to brain surgery, and which it's an odd correlation. But, you know, you want your brain surgeon to have all the best equipment that there is. And that's, you know, the analytics and the numbers and the labs that you're talking about. But you still want the brain surgeon to be pretty good at what he does. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you need to have the right tools in the hand of the right people. And I think all that's being evaluated right now in terms of the development side. I think one of the things that we've got to get better at as an organization, personally, I think, is we have to finish off our minor leaguers better. Not that we're getting the wrong guys, not that we're not developing them, but what's that differentiation between being a AAA player and a big league player and a good big league player? That last finish is where it's tough. Does that happen in the minor leagues? Does it happen in the big leagues? Does it happen in instructional league like way it used to, or winter ball? I think we just have to kind of pin that down a little better.
And, you know, it's sort of like I'm having this mental analogy of baking, and you're baking a bunch of cookies, and you just keep opening up the oven to see if they're done yet. And you kind of ruin them by, like, you pull them out too fast, you leave them in too long. Yeah. We seem to kind of be doing that with our players. And I know that it's the way it's always been. You're going to come up from AAA, then you're going to go back down. That's not new. But it seems like a little, maybe not too many chefs in the kitchen, but like a little too fidgety.
Yeah, I think the pressure for the Cardinals to win has been so great and to play in October that that you tend to, you know, maybe you do make some rushed decisions to do that. You know, the other thing you do is you may even rush to spend money in a way that you wouldn't have already done. And all that stuff is kind of open for debate about kind of the way it should be. But it does require patience. And that's a word John Mozeliak talks about all the time, is being patient. And, you know, we don't want to be patient. We want to win today. We want to win. Actually, we want to win at the game that we're at that moment. And you know, baseball is kind of a long game. It's a long season. And, you know, the Cardinals have been around a long time, and they'll be around for a long time after this. You just want to get back on the right track again.
Rick, how have you felt the big changes the past couple of seasons with the pitch clock and the change in the bases and some of the rules? Do you think they were a complete success, or are there things that you're not that crazy about?
I like them. I like the changes, and I tend to be traditionalist more than anything. I just don't want the game to be messed up, which is the point of your question. I don't think the game's been messed up. I don't. If I was at the ball game and I was looking at the clock every 2 minutes, I wouldn't like that. I don't mm-hmm. like. I mean, I don't want it to be a timed game. I want to get into the feel of the game and the pace of the game, just kind of moseying along and not being so much like other sports. That's what sets baseball apart. But I don't think that's been the case. I don't see anybody worrying too much about the pitch clock or the size of the bases. I don't think fans are paying attention to that, which I think is good. I still, one of my favorite things, suggestions to make would be, I wish on the TV side they would take the box off the off the screen and just let people watch the catcher, watch the batter, watch the pitcher, because that's what the game really is.
Yeah, I've become addicted to the box, but when you said that the other night when I was watching, I thought, you know, I think you make a good point. I think that would probably be better for everyone. Rick, before the big changes, when the game moved at the game's own pace, you know how it is when you're playing golf and you're behind people and they're just going so painfully slow. Would it get that way for you guys as players? Like, oh, for the love of God, come on, please just pitch the ball.
Somebody, no doubt about it. I mean, we joke about it as broadcasters too. Is like, you know, we like quick games, and quick games tend to be better games. Not always, but even on the field, you definitely feel that way. Can you imagine being, you know, a center fielder back in the 1980s, and you're Willie McGee, and you've got a left-handed pitcher that's walking everybody in the world, and he's faced eight guys in the inning, and it's 120 degrees on the turf.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, hey, just throw it underhand. Let the guy line out somewhere. Just throw a strike. We got to get this over. And you would get very, I mean, that's part of the teaching of patience that happens for a player. But it can be drudgery when things aren't going well.
All right, well, let's hope for a sweep and a winning record, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, you bet. Thanks.
He keeps doing that to me. He keeps not turning my mic on.
Sorry, I turned the wrong one on. I'm sorry. Thinking about a couple things. Sorry.
He's like, can you do the time check? And I'm like, sure, I'll do the time check. Then it's like...
Yep.
Well, it's now a different time. It's 2:52. Brought to you by Fire Capital Management. You have one button to push.
I'm sorry.
Just
I know.
One
I'm trying
button.
To troubleshoot this Dave Murray stuff, and it's a...
What's going on,
Dave?
Dave
Murray, yeah, what's up?
What trouble's he causing?
No, it's not Dave Murray's fault. The connections got all messed up due to errors on the us end. And now I'm trying to troubleshoot that and set up new connections, and they're not working because, of course, they don't. Because, you know, since when does anything
we
that
you have
told
a lot
is
of
going to work?
Problems
to work?
Like that.
We seem to.
Little pieces of machines.
Yeah. We sure seem to have a lot of problems like that, don't we?
I don't like little machines.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. No one does.
You're always going out. Speaking of, we're never going to have flying cars, right?
No.
No, never.
And I know, isn't there supposed to be a prototype out?
I mean, there's been one forever.
Right, but you never actually see it. It never comes on the market.
And then when you do see it, you're like, we're never going to have those in mass. People won't be filling their tanks, and they'll be dropping out of the skies and landing on kids.
It's all a lie, Dave.
Yeah.
Have you seen that car commercial where the car kind of, all right, it's parallel parked, and then it backs up and does like a, like square around it, like a sideways move out?
No.
That's the closest thing I've seen. If that thing could fly, that's the closest I've seen.
Could you comfortably ride in a self-driving car?
I don't think I could.
I don't think I could either.
It's too weird. And did you guys heard that story, too, of the parking lot in San Francisco that was keeping up the neighbors all night long because there were Teslas honking at each other because something would set them off and they were driving around in the parking lot and honking and instead of not hitting each other. Yeah. So I don't trust any of it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That makes me laugh.
He said, well, like 2 a.m. I woke up and thought, what's all the honking? I looked out and the Teslas were all flashing lights at each other and honking.
I'm getting TikToks that are making me uncomfortable.
Oh.
I'm getting TikToks from the Lakota tribe of Native Americans who keep referring to me as a venerated member.
Hey.
And I keep like, I don't want to scroll past it fast and be like, I don't like Native American stuff. Okay. But at the same time, I feel uncomfortable.
They're never going to know. And what did you look up that you would start getting this?
I've never searched a single thing.
Maybe it's because you spend time looking up like Bigfoot and Bigfoot related areas?
I don't look up anything.
Okay.
I don't search anything I've never once searched anything.
Do you linger on Bigfoot and natural searching? Well,
that might be it.
That's part of it.
Wait, how's that tied to the Lakotas?
Well, I think that the TikTok algorithm.
What are you trying to say about the Lakotas?
Will conflate because it's out west, right? All of the indigenous peoples and their areas
Blair
are out west.
Scrambling.
And so is Bigfoot. No, it's all
Bigfoot's everywhere.
Lakotas, I believe, are up in the Pacific Northwest, aren't they?
I have no idea. I'm looking it up. Lakota.
Boy,
where are the Lakota? I don't think I'm spelling.
I feel like what you just said was offensive, and I don't know why.
Same.
I think you're stereotyping both Bigfoot and Native Americans.
They are
subcultures of
North and South Dakota.
Yes.
So, you know, kind of up that way. Bigfoot country.
It's got to be it.
Got to be it.
I don't know what else it would be unless you're, you know, really looking stuff up and just not mentioning it. But I still don't know what would bring that up.
That sounds like an accusation.
Well, I mean, what you know how you just sometimes think, oh, wait, did I think about blah, blah, and you look at it, and then somehow it comes up. I mean, you may be Googling something. It may not be in TikTok.
This is possible.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I did Google, am I a venerated member of the Lakota tribe?
How to become venerated member
yes,
of Lakota tribe.
Yes, now I do remember that.
Okay. 2024.
And it was Google Images.
I give up.
And I was like, that's not me. That's not me. I don't think that could be me. I don't think that's me.